listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer. Hi, it's a new day if you want it to be. And this man has had some hard, dark days in his life. Let's move this away from your face there. Okay. Hard, dark days. And you've also had some good days. And he is Jeff Gilbert. And welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you.
He has a new book out. It's called Through the Darkest Hour. Now, he is a Christian counselor. And not a business counselor, but a personal psychological counselor, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so where'd you get your training?
The bachelor's was at Southeastern, what is called now Southeastern University. Back then it was Southeastern College of the Assemblies of God for a pastoral counseling bachelor's degree. After that, I got a master's in psychological mental health counseling at Nova Southeastern University, which is located in Fort Lauderdale.
Well, what's wonderful is, you know, I've run into people who are orthopedic surgeons or eye doctors or different people. Or chiropractors. They'll go in and see a doctor when they're young, and they get so involved in it, they go, hey, I want to do what you're doing and help people. So, which is kind of what happened with you, right? I mean, there was a counselor that you ran into in life, a Christian counselor.
That's right.
Who would pray at the end of every encounter you had with him until one day he invited you to join in the prayer.
That's right.
And it changed your life.
Yes, it did.
Now, you're wearing an eye patch. Somebody here today said, who is that guy? Is he like a pirate? And I said, no, he's not a pirate. I said, you had eye cancer, correct?
I had it, yeah. About 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma through University of Miami. And they treated me for it with radiation, and it shrunk the tumor down to about half its size, but it remained. And they did some immunotherapies for me. Two of those nearly killed me, but really bad side effects. So,
what were some of those side effects?
Well, the one it said, if your skin around your fingers and your toes, if it starts becoming really inflamed and brittle and starts cracking and possibly bleeding, like really getting very easily paper cuts, and your skin starts separating from the fingernails and toenails, it says get off that medication immediately.
Oh.
You could die, basically. Wow. And the other one, it made me very dehydrated. I had to be in the ER 2 times within 4 days.
We have to be very careful of the medicines we take. I know they put me on testosterone a couple of years ago, and I was on for 1 day, and I was feeling very strange. And I listened to my inner voice that the good Lord above gives us, and something said, no, don't take this anymore. And I looked up the side effects. The number one side effect is death by stroke. So, and I know somebody else that was taking a statin drug, and she used to listen to my show, very intellectual lady, and I ran into her in a nursing home, and she was all frozen up like this. Hello, Rod. She couldn't move her fingers, anything.
Oh, wow.
I said, what happened to you, Ruth? She says, statin drugs did this.
Mm.
So, you know, someone had put me on statin drugs, and the same thing, I woke up with my back feeling like it was a piece of wood. So everybody has to make up their own mind, but I would suggest you listen to your inner voice and counsel with the Bible says there's a safety in a multitude of counselors. Nothing wrong in getting a second or a third opinion on things, correct?
That's correct. I see a Dr. Story here. He's an oncologist. And for the past year, he had decided that they were going to monitor and then make sure that it didn't grow, didn't move or anything like that. And so it remained. And we, my wife and my son and I, we go to the same church you go to, Oceans Unite Christian Center. And they prayed for me. And we also went up to Tennessee around October and Perry Stone, a biblical prophetic teacher, people at his place prayed for me as well. I don't know where I was healed, but I know who did it. And yes, the last MRI I had, there was no mention of any cancer even existing. Just a little inflammation from all the radiation.
Why do you still wear this eye patch?
I still see double vision.
Okay, so that'll change over time, they hope.
God willing, we're still praying for that.
All right, let's get into the gist of why we're here today, and that's to talk about the Lord and deliverance on your life. So did you become a Satanist?
No.
Okay, but were you? But you were an atheist,
agnostic. Yeah,
You were very angry with the world because you were mistreated or bullied when you were young.
A little more complicated than that, but that definitely played into it.
Tell us the story.
If you remember.
Now, by the way, this is all outlined in his book, Through the Darkest Hour, James Gilbert. It's available everywhere. Through the Darkest Hour. This is a hardcover copy, which I particularly, I like hardcovers, and I like the way the font is and everything, but go ahead.
Yes. At a very early age, I had some fears, a lot of fears, and they weren't just normal childhood fears. It felt like it was a bit tormenting. And my family moved from Colorado to Sebastian, Florida, actually, when I was 4 years old. And I was going to school here and kind of growing up fairly normally. Had some good friends, and then at the age of eight, around October 28th, because I know this date because my we had a Sheltie, or miniature collie, who gave birth that day. So it's kind of sticking now in my memory. But I was coming home from my bus station, and my bus stop, and I was rounding this corner of Wimbro and Futch Way. And there was a small little forest of pine trees. And just suddenly I became aware of something. I just felt like a changed person. I felt like a new attitude of we're not going to take it anymore was coming into me.
Well, had someone been abusive on the bus?
I had some minor skirmishes with some bullies.
Well,
but
obviously something was making you angry.
Yeah, it could be a bit of... a family trait. My grandfather and I think my great grandfather, and probably even great great. I never met the great great, but there's some anger on my dad's side of the family.
Let me ask you this. They say that anger is either hurt or fear talking. I have found that to be true in life. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So you're angry because you've been hurt?
Yes.
Okay.
And fear, it makes you feel more in control.
Okay. So you got angry, and there was a presence in the woods when you stepped off your school bus that day, and it was not a good presence.
Not a good presence.
This was a darkness calling you.
Yeah, I didn't see anything, but I did feel changed, and it was at that point that bullies started coming out of the woodwork at school and things. But that very Halloween, my brother took me out trick-or-treating that night because... my parents watched the dogs, and we were entertaining my dad's parents from Kansas. They live over there.
Let's just stick to the things that are pertinent to the story.
There was I had a violent image or a vision after one of our neighbors down another street gave me an apple, right? And he threw it in my bag, and he seemed like a nice enough guy, an old guy. But my brother heard the thud of the, apple going into the bag, but he was behind me. He didn't see what it was. And he goes, what was that, And I said, just an apple. And he says, well, Mom's probably going to make you throw it away. And I'm like, why, And he says, well, you can't trust him. And he repeated what was often a urban legend that some people were sticking razors in apples or pins to get, kids hurt. So I saw an image or a vision of a razor sticking out of someone's neck and blood just streaming out. It's a very
sounds like you have a wild imagination. Shocking. There.
I think as it played out, the visions were demonically inspired. But that was my first one, and when it happened, I felt this intrigue with evil. All the other times, I felt a fear towards evil, but I felt an intrigue. And what happened was I just took notice of that night much more. I felt a greater adequacy on that night. So I don't really, it's very difficult to explain, but I explain it in the book. What happened from there is next Halloween, that atmosphere came over me again, and the next one, and the next one. And as it was happening, you know, bullies were coming out of the woodwork. I didn't take it like most victims of bullies, you know, come on, guys, leave me alone kind of thing. It was kind of like in different ways I would threaten their lives. Like one kid, I drew a picture of him, you know, his face all bloody and everything, and wrote down, this is what you're going to look like when I'm through with you, you know. And so we were supposed
to. Did you give it to him?
Yeah. And
what was his response?
I don't remember. And just probably some shock. But
when you face a bully, they say they run. Did he run and stay away from
you? He didn't show
that?
Up at the school like we were supposed to have a fight after school. Mm. So he didn't show up. I don't know if his grandmother kept
him. That's typical of a
bully. Yeah, I don't know if his grandmother kept him home that day or what. But
so you had intentions of really doing him some substantial damage. You were filled with rage and anger.
Yes. After this oppression began, it seemed like solutions to life's problems was get rid of the trouble, you know, whether it meant me dying or someone else dying. And it just grew more and more. And
so the same spirit would later on inspire you to kill yourself as well as others.
Yes. Yeah.
Why did you, how did you manage? So it got worse and worse. What happens next?
Just media got into, horror movies, started off in Sebastian. There used to be a signal from St. Petersburg called Creature Feature. WTOG used to run that. And I would watch that, you know, as a kid.
So you had an attraction for the dark.
Yes. Yeah. And then after this oppression, it became even more so. And I still had like a fear of evil. So at the age of around 12 or 13 years old, I don't know. I just seemed to make an inadvertent decision that I would become an ally of evil because I perceived good would not mess with me because good is good. And that's almost a verbatim line in the book. Good just is good. You know, it's going to leave you alone. But evil, I decided I needed to become an ally.
Mm. Why?
To stave off its inherent threat to me.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like the Stockholm.
It's like, leave me alone, I'll join your side kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then.
Did that appease this dark force?
I would say it took me down the track faster.
Hmm.
And I wasn't afraid.
No. So what kind of things did you get involved with? Did you make sacrifices?
No witchcraft or anything like that. No, it's just. Violence was just growing in me more and more. And,
how old were you at this time?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.